From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice for me, Amanda, to accompany you for the next 1 hour in our broadcasting program. Today we have prepared some segments and we start our program today with the news. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia and United Arab Emirates discussed the development of moderation. Indonesia and Japan strengthen cooperation to develop electric cars. Now the news in detail. Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates discussed the effort to strengthen moderation during the visit of Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs Fahrul Razi from December 14 to 17, 2019. It was said by Minister Fahrul Razi in a press statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday, December 15. The minister pointed out that Indonesia can learn from United Arab Emirates in managing and promoting tolerance and religious harmony. Minister Fahrul perceived UAE or United Arab Emirates an advanced country in various aspects including technology, economy, and religious affairs. The advancement of United Arab Emirates is supported by the values of moderation, tolerance, and harmony. In addition to discussing the effort to develop moderation, the two parties also highlighted the capacity building of imam or Muslim leaders, preachers and mufti or Muslim legal expert through the exchange of experiences and visit. Furthermore, the other points discussed at the meeting include the cooperation in the field of Quran recitation, memorization and interpretation, publication of Quran, translation of Quran, and other cooperation concerning religious moderation. Indonesia and Japan continue to forge cooperation in the development of automotive industry, including encouraging an accelerated development of environmentally friendly vehicles. The strategic step will be realized through synergy between the Indonesian Industry Ministry and the Japanese Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry, or METI. It was stated by Director General of Metal, Machinery, Transportation, Means and Electronic Industry of the Indonesian Industry Ministry, Haryanto, in a written statement released on Saturday, December 14. As quoted by Antara, Indonesia and Japan discussed the policy of developing automotive industry in the two countries at the second Indonesia-Japan Automotive Dialogue held in Bali. At the dialogue, the two sides also discussed the trend in the use of electric vehicles and the development lithium battery in the world. Haryanto said the dialogue was aimed at sharing knowledge and experience about technical standardization and regulations implemented in the two countries, including the use of new and renewable energy or biofuel. The two sides also discussed investment and incentives in the development of electric vehicle industry. The Indonesian government, through the Indonesian Permanent Mission, PTRI, in Geneva, Switzerland, officially filed a lawsuit against the European Union at the World Trade Organization, WTO, on December 9, 2019. The lawsuit was filed against the Renewable Energy Directive 2 or RED2 policy and European Union Delegated Regulation. these policies are considered to discriminate Indonesian palm oil products. Trade Minister Agus Suparmanto, through his statement received in Jakarta on Sunday, said this decision is made after meeting in the country with associations, business actors, oil palm products, and after conducting scientific studies, as well as consultations with all stakeholders in the palm oil sector and its derivatives. Agus Suparmanto reiterated that the lawsuit is carried out as a serious commitment of the Indonesian government to combating discrimination by the European Union through RED II policy and delegated regulation. Indonesian Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto arrived in Beijing, China on Sunday, December 15, to kick off his three-day visit that would pave the way for the two countries to strengthen their cooperation in the defense sector. His arrival was welcomed by Indonesian Ambassador to China, Jauhari Oratmangun, the Indonesian Embassy in Beijing's Deputy Chief of Mission, Listiowati, Indonesian Defense Attaché Brigadier General Kuat Budiman, and several staffers of the Indonesian Embassy. Major General Song Yan Chow from China's Directorate for International Military Cooperation and several officials of China's Defense Ministry also welcomed Prabowo Subianto and members of the Indonesian Defense Ministry's delegation. Ambassador Jauhari Oratmangun told Antara that during his three-day visit, Prabowo Subianto would meet his counterpart, China's Defense Minister General Wei Fenghe, and head of China's Central Military Commission General Su Qiliang. Prabowo would discuss the two countries' collective effort to strengthen defense cooperation. During his first visit to China, Prabowo is also scheduled to visit the State Administration for Science, Technology, and Industry for National Defense, or SASTIN. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. Persahabatan Hospital, in collaboration with the Faculty of Medicine of the University of Indonesia and Indonesian Pulmonary Doctor Association, held the World Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease 2019 in the Carefree Day area, Jakarta, on Sunday, December 15. Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease, COPD, is characterized by persistent respiratory symptoms and limited respiratory airflow due to abnormalities in the airways. It was remarked by Chief Committee of the COPD Day Budi Antariksa on the sidelines of the COPD commemoration in Jakarta on Sunday, December 15. Budi explained that COPD is caused by pollution and smoke.
Pertama karena PPOK itu biasa dialami oleh
Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease, or COPD, is commonly experienced by smokers and those who are exposed to pollution. The number of smokers in Indonesia is still high. COPD usually affects people at the age of 45 years and above, usually between 45 to 50 and above. The increase of life expectancy will also increase the risk of COPD. The third factor is that Jakarta is known to have high pollution. Pollution is one of the factors of COPD. Budi Antariksa further stated that with 3 million deaths each year, COPD is the fourth biggest case of death. It is predicted to be the third biggest cause of death by 2020. The Vienna-based International Dialogue Center and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, will host a regional workshop on December 18 to 19 involving more than 65 religious leaders and policymakers from 5 different countries as part of effort to promote understanding and cooperation between religious communities across South and Southeast Asia. The workshop, themed Fostering Inter- and Intra-Religious Dialogue to Prevent and Mitigate Conflicts in South and Southeast Asia, is jointly organized by the Vienna-based International Dialogue Center and the OIC in partnership with the Indonesian Center for Dialogue and Cooperation Among Civilizations and the Jakarta-based Gus Durian Network. Escorted by Antara, the workshop seeks to provide a platform for dialogue and exchange on interreligious relations in South and Southeast Asia to facilitate collaboration between religious leaders from different faith backgrounds and to foster relations with decision makers on a regional level. It also foresees the participation of senior representatives of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN institutions. The last item, the government of Aceh Tamiang support the establishment of seaport at Airmasin village, Seruai, on a bid to support export and import activities. Region of Aceh Tamiang, Morsil in Kuala Simpang, Aceh Tamiang, on Sunday, December 15, stated that the establishment of the seaport aims to prevent illegal export and improve the welfare of the society. Morsil explained that in realizing the target, his side would prepare all the requirements such as the permission and the documents. He pointed out that the establishment of the seaport must be supported by the development of maritime affairs and fisheries in the area, in a bid to give significant impacts to improve the welfare of local people. Listener, that was the news from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Predicting Indonesia's Economic Growth in 2020. Well, listener, ahead of a 2019 year-end, many parties are predicting Indonesia's economic growth in 2020. The Central Statistics Agency on Tuesday reported data on Indonesia's economic growth in the third quarter of 2019, which reached 5.02%. The figure decreased in comparison with the first and second quarters of 2019, which were 5.07% and 5.05%. Asian Development Bank economist in Indonesia, Emma Allen, projects that Indonesia's economic growth in 2020 will reach 5.2%. with encouragement from the investment sector and private consumption figures that remain strong. She also explained this after a discussion on Indonesia's economic and political outlook in 2020 held by the Foreign Policy Committee of Indonesia along with the PricewaterhouseCoopers in Jakarta on Friday. The projection is based on investment that will increase after the appointment of cabinet members in the second term of President Joko Widodo's government. Another factor is the announcement of the planned enactment of the Omnibus Law, predicted to make the Indonesian business sector more attractive and fascinating foreign investors. While the Indonesian Employee Association, or APindo, said that next year, Indonesia's economic growth will not be much different from the condition this year. From APindo study data, the growth is estimated to be in the range of 4.85% until 5.1%. Meanwhile, Minister of National Development Planning expressed optimism in Jakarta on Sunday that Indonesia's economic growth could reach 6%. At the same time, in a media briefing in Jakarta, Deputy for Maritime and Natural Resources at the Minister of National Development Planning, Arifin Rudianto, outlined a number of strategies so that the Indonesian economy would grow approximately 6% in the National Medium-Term Development Plan 2020-2024. The strategy includes encouraging investment growth, especially in the manufacturing sector. This is because the manufacturing sector has high added value and downstream sector is still potential to be explored by seeking high technology and large investments. Another point is that to improve the investment climate by simplifying investment regulations and procedures, as well as selecting locations that focus on industrial zones and special economic zones. Whatever the prediction is, the Indonesian people and government must keep being optimistic that Indonesian economic growth in 2020 will increase compared to 2019. Admittedly, this is not easy amid today's uncertainty global conditions, especially with the ongoing trade war between United States and China and geopolitical turmoil in a number of regions. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, for the next segment, we present you today in history about historical events on 15th of December 2019. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be joined in our regular program today in history. Well, it starts from a point on December 16, 1971, about the Victory Day of Bangladesh. Independence War of Bangladesh was an armed conflict between West Pakistan, which is now called Pakistan, and East Pakistan, which is called Bangladesh, and India. The war counts the establishment of Bangladesh state. This war started from March 26, 1971. West Pakistan launched military operation on civil, student, and armed personnel in East Pakistan. We call now Bangladesh to destroy their counterword to Pakistani independence. After the war, East Pakistan gained its independence as a state, which is now called Bangladesh. Next event was in 1989 on Romanian Revolution. Romanian Revolution in 1989 was a massive demonstration which was staged for a week starting from December 16, 1989. The movement tried to subvert communist regime Nicolae Ceaușescu. The increase in the violent fight was highlighted by court, and Ceaușescu and his wife Elena were executed. Romania is the only one member of the Eastern Bloc which subverted the communist regime. Well, listener, the last event is that in 1991, Kazakhstan proclaimed its independence. Kazakhstan proclaimed its independence on December 16, 1991. Kazakh nation is the largest ethnic which plays Kazakhstan and was the son of Turkey and Mongol tribe. Early the 18th century, Kazakhstan was controlled by Russia. When communist revolution won in Russia and Soviet Union has been established since 1920, Kazakhstan becomes one of the 15 states which joined in the Soviet Union. Because of a Soviet Union dismissal, Kazakhstan also liberated itself and became state in a republic form. The state has geographically benefited because its location is in between Central Asia and East Europe, geographically worth considering. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Ini bukan lagu cinta biasa. Hanya denting nada yang memanjakan senyumanmu. Ingin ku cerita semua rahasia yang hanya Tuhan dan kamu yang tahu. Kau buatku lemah tak berdaya.
Ha 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 ha. Oh.
kau membebaskanku dan bersamamu. Aku tahu kau suka padaku karena erat kau memeluk aku. Terasa nyaman kau bersama aku. Aku pun inginkan kamu. Semua ini memang tidak biasa. Apa yang ku rasa padamu memang istimewa. Selidiki aku apa adanya. Ayo kita bongkar mujizat dunia. Kau membuat hati tergila-gila. Hatiku tergila-gila. Aku tahu kau suka padaku karena erat kau memeluk aku. Terasa nyaman kau bersama aku. Aku pun inginkan kamu. Kau buatku tertawa dan bersamamu. Kau membebaskanku dan bersamamu. Aku tahu kau suka padaku karena erat kau memeluk aku. Kau suka padaku. Karena erat kau memeluk aku.
That was a song entitled Terasa Nyaman or Feeling Comfortable by Abirama. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Ministry of Agriculture strengthens cooperation with Saudi Arabia for exports of various agricultural products. The Ministry of Agriculture strengthens cooperation with Saudi Arabia to increase trade, specifically in agricultural commodities, including rice export plans. Minister of Agriculture Syahrul Yassin Limpo, when receiving Saudi Arabian Ambassador Essam bin Abed Al-Takafi in Jakarta last Thursday, guaranteed that Indonesian agricultural commodities could be exported to Saudi Arabia, especially in targeting the Muslim population in the country because all were certified halal. On the same occasion, expert staff of the Minister of Agriculture in the field of trade and international relations, Banun Harpini, explained, at present Saudi Arabia still imports its rice needs from Thailand, India, and the United States. Banun said frozen chicken products would also be offered for export. That's because the source of imported chicken from Saudi Arabia is Brazil and allegedly now contains salmonella, so it is temporarily being halted. Therefore, Indonesia plans to replace it and offer the frozen chicken to Saudi Arabia. Banun Harpini added, other potential commodities for Arab exports are Cavendish bananas and pineapple, which have been exported to various countries. To accelerate exports, the Indonesian government was given the opportunity to introduce Indonesian agricultural products through an exhibition to be held by the Saudi Arabian Embassy in Jakarta in January. Furthermore, it is planned that in February, the Ministry of Agriculture will officially visit Saudi Arabia as a follow-up to the trade cooperation in agricultural products. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabian Ambassador Essam bin Abed Al-Takafi said he had discussed with the Ministry of Agriculture about Indonesia's agricultural products that could be exported. Ambassador Essam also said that some memoranda of understanding between the Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture and Saudi Arabia would be signed in the near future, especially those related to agriculture, such as conducting training for farmers and plans to export agricultural products, including agricultural machinery that are needed by the Saudi Arabian market. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on Ministry of Agriculture strengthens cooperation with Saudi Arabia for export of various agricultural products. This is Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Kita harus bahagia. Kita harus bahagia. Kita harus bahagia. Kamu harus bahagia. Kita harus bahagia.
That was a song sung by Yura Yunita entitled Harus Bahagia or I Must Be Happy. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we're going to give you a program, Indonesian Wonder, about Indonesian tourism, local culture, and our culinary. Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, I will introduce you Watu Tena Beach. Adonara Island is located in the east part of Flores Island with 500 square kilometers wide. The island shares borders with Flores Sea in the north, Solor Strait in the south, and Lower Tobi Strait in the west. Administratively, the island is part of East Flores Regency, East Nusa Tenggara Province. On the island, there are some beautiful natural tourism objects. One of them is Watu Tena Beach. Watu Tena Beach is located in the southeast of Adonara Island. The beach has amazing natural scenery. White sand is completed with clusters of magma stones and clear sea water, which becomes the scenery of the beach, and it is very exotic. The beach is not visited by many tourists, thus the place is an appropriate place for relaxation and to enjoy the beautiful scenery. In addition, if you want to enjoy undersea attraction, you can do diving or snorkeling activities. Watu Tena Beach can be accessed through Larantuka, the capital city of East Flores. From Larantuka, it takes 1 hour by boat to cross Adonara Island. You will arrive in Waiwerang, then riding public transportation for 30 minutes to go to Watu Tena Beach. If you go to the beach, you should provide your own foods because there is no hotel or restaurant at the beach. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder featuring Watu Tena Beach in East Nusa Tenggara Province. Thank you for listening.
Pernah terlintas untuk tinggalkan kamu jauh dariku kasihku, karena aku milikmu, kamu milikku, separuh nyawaku hidup bersamamu. Berdua kita lewati meski hujan badai takkan berhenti,
takkan berhenti.
Sehidup semati, mentari pun tahu ku cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga. Ujung kepala, aku ingin kamu, kamu yang ku mau, belahan jiwaku, kamu masa depanku. Berdua kita lewati meski hujan badai takkan berhenti, sehidup semati, mentari pun tahu cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga. Kita teman bahagia,
teman
You've just listened to a song titled Teman Bahagia or Happy Friend by Jess. For the next segment, we present you a program Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, and have a nice listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language and Book Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Cuti Akhir Tahun or Year-End Leave. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Cuti Akhir Tahun. The conversation is between Tony and Joko at Joko's house. They are talking about the plan of Joko's holiday during his leave.
Akhirnya, aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan.
Syukurlah. Berapa lama kamu akan cuti?
2 minggu.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Awal, in English, beginning or early. Akhir, in English, end. Tengah, in English, middle. Berangkat, in English, to go or to leave. Berjemur, in English, sunbath. Akhirnya, aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan. Akhirnya, aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan. In English, finally I can leave at this year end and early next year. Syukurlah. In English, thankfully. Berapa lama kamu akan cuti? In English, how long will you take your leave? 2 minggu. In English, 2 weeks. In the conversation, Joko said, akhirnya aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan. In English, finally I can take my leave at this year end and early next year. In the sentence, there is the word awal or early and akhir or end. The two words awal and akhir can be combined with the word that shows time, such as minggu or week, bulan or month, semester or semester, and tahun or year. Let's follow some examples of using the words in the sentences. Saya akan cuti pada akhir bulan ini. Saya akan cuti pada akhir bulan ini. In English, I will leave at the end of this month. Kami akan berlibur pada awal bulan depan. Kami akan berlibur pada awal bulan depan. In English, we will be on vacation early next month. Sebentar lagi kita akan libur akhir semester. Sebentar lagi kita akan libur akhir semester. In English, we will be on a semester holiday soon. Kamu akan kemana akhir minggu ini? Kamu akan kemana akhir minggu ini? In English, where will you go at the end of this week? In addition to the word awal and akhir, there is another word that can be usually used to show time, such as the word tengah. Let's follow the examples. Mereka akan berangkat pada tengah malam nanti. Mereka akan berangkat pada tengah malam nanti. In English, they will leave at midnight. Aku tidak mau berjemur pada tengah hari. Aku tidak mau berjemur pada tengah hari. In English, I do not want to sunbath at noon. Pada tengah semester ini, tidak ada liburan. Pada tengah semester ini, tidak ada liburan. In English, there is no holiday on this mid-semester. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Akhirnya, aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan.
Syukurlah. Berapa lama kamu akan cuti?
2 minggu.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Sisi hatimu yang kosong jadi yang paling bahagia dapati cinta itu. Perlahan duka pun pergi, jauh tenggelam tinggalkan gundah. Bertahun ku coba sendiri, berteman caci maki. Takkan ku lepas lagi kehadiranmu, oh anugerah. Sepanjang usia kita terus bersama, mengarungi hidup dengan cinta surut kehendaknya. Sepanjang usia ku tak mau terpisah, memberikan hatiku
sisi hatimu yang kosong jadi yang paling bahagia dapati cinta itu. Perlahan duka pun pergi, jauh tenggelam tinggalkan gundah. Bertahun ku coba sendiri, berteman caci maki.
Takkan ku lepas lagi kehadiranmu, oh.
a song entitled Sepanjang Usia for a Long Life by Usi and Andika. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, let's listen to Indonesian music in our program Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we present a Keroncong song entitled Pandangan Pertama. The song tells about love on the first sight. A glimpse of lyrics of the song, Pandangan Pertama, tell us that when someone falls in love, no words can be expressed. The theme of love on the first sight is often used in various artworks, both songs, poem, novel, or drama. There are many unique news and interesting things about love on the first sight expressed in the artworks. Well, listener, here is the song entitled Pandangan Pertama, sung by Sri Hartati. Enjoy the song.
Pada pandangan yang pertama, hati telah terpesona pada siapa ku bertanya, gerangan apa sebabnya. Pada pandangan yang pertama, serasa hati bertemu, tiada kata yang terucapkan, semuanya diam membisu. Menyesali dada, lenyap segala rencana. Pada pandangan yang pertama, aku telah jatuh cinta. Siapa ku mengaku, semuanya tiada yang tahu. Selalu tiada irama yang menentu, nafas pun menyesati dada, lenyap segala rencana. Yang pertama,
Voice of Indonesia.
Karena ku tak istimewa.
Listener, thank you very much for joining our broadcasting. Don't forget to participate in our program by sending us your comment and feedback to our email address voi@voinews.id, Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, and Twitter @voiindonesia. I'm Amanda. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a nice day.